Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Chats from the Blog Cabin. You know, the show where I invite people into the blog cabin to talk virtually. Today we are talking about the big M word, menopause, and most importantly, weight loss plan for menopause, because menopause seems to be an issue that not a lot of people talk about, but everybody, every woman experiences it once, at least twice. Even sometimes they feel like they've done it and then they think they're over it and it hot flashes and everything else comes back again. So we're here with Sonia, and she also writes this under a pen name as well. But welcome to the show, and tell us a little about yourself before we start talking about the book.
Thanks for the invite, Melissa. And yes, menopause does last, can last for years, because I know I got into menopause because I'm in my mid-50s, but I started menopause in my early 40s, and the doctors, they're going, you're too young, and I'm going, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with me, and I'm in it. So, you do some tests, and then he comes back and goes, oh, my God, you are. I'm going, well, yeah, hello. Some doctors, us women, we know our bodies. So, So then I didn't want to do the, I suppose you say, the drugs or the hormones or the, I tried to do the old, natural, and I tried to find old different alternatives and herbal and going through all that. So that's what brought me to write the book, with all my research and all the thing to go through. And because, it was years, and it took me years, and then getting into the premenopause, and that took me years as well. And then by the time you finally get to the other side, I'm still living it. Last night we went out for, because Valentine's Day, because I'm in Australia, so yesterday was Valentine's Day, and middle of the restaurant, and I was there with a girlfriend, and both of her and I were fanning each other. It's all so hot. So, you just get that hot flash, and then that's the, it's all over. I'm going, can we please go home so I can turn the aircon on? So, and this is in the middle of a restaurant that's supposed to have aircon. But, and even, because I've got three adult children and they're going, Mum, it's not that hot. I'm going, trust me, it is.
It is. I'm right there with you. It is. It is.
Yeah. Even husband goes, oh, my God, you're so hot and clammy, I can't touch you. And I'm going, well, and he's freezing, mm-hmm. So,
Let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us a little about you before we start into the big menopause. Give us a little background on you, besides what you've gone through menopause.
Yeah. Well, I'm Sonia, but I write under a pen name because I have another business as well. So, I own a bookkeeping business here in Australia. So it's sort of like, I didn't want to mix my bookkeeping with, they're going, what, you're writing about menopause? My clients will get confused. So, so this is why, you might think, why am I under green? And green was because I thought green was nice and healthy and vegetables. And my husband, he goes, you got to have a vegetable name in there. And I went, green? I'm 55 this year, have three adult children. So I got, I got two 25-year-olds and a 22-year-old. Been married, I think, in about 3 weeks' time, it will be 31 years. So, because when he came home with my roses, he goes, I've never bought you a dozen roses before, so I bought you a dozen roses. And I went, you should have bought me a rose for every year we've been together. And he goes, oh, all right. He goes, I could barely afford a dozen. So, roses on Valentine's Day is really expensive. But I don't know. Do you guys celebrate Valentine's Day in America?
Yes, we do. Our stories are almost similar. I mean, I'll be 55 this year as well. I have three adult children, but they're all girls. I have a 21, a 25, and one will be, she's 28. She'll be 29 this year. My husband and I have been married. I've been together for almost 30 years. So there, our stories are almost similar. And we both have gone through the change, you know, the thing that people don't talk about. So before we get into it, let's talk about what it is, because I know a lot of listeners are like, oh, it's just hot flashes. Or it's things people, it's just in their head. It doesn't really exist.
Yeah. You think you're going through the symptoms and yeah. And the doctor goes, like I said, he told me I was too early and there's got to be something else wrong with me. And then, you know, same girlfriend I was having dinner with last night, because we weren't talking about it. You weren't talking about the change in your periods and how you're feeling, how you're doing it. It wasn't until that we're all having these tests and doing all this stuff that I think I actually poked up one night and just said, you know, what the hell, are you guys doing this? You know, is this what's happening to you too? And so they're going, yeah. So now, you know, you've got to start that conversation with your girlfriends, because, you know, I know my daughters, they talk about their periods now with their friends. But, you know, when we were younger, you never talked about it. It was all taboo. Like, everyone knew you had them, the guys knew you had them, but you never discussed it. Yeah. So, but I've noticed the change now that my daughters discuss it. They openly discuss it with me, and they openly discuss it with their friends, their boyfriends, partners. So, yeah, it's sort of like, but you get, yeah, it's the mood swings, the depression, the hot flashes is the main, crankiness and overeating. Yeah, you know, you're, because you are slightly depressed, then you do eat. You know, you're eating for the mood, which is us women, we do all the time. Like, men do it too, mm-hmm. but we're prone to it, and this is a habit. Like, I can't get out of the habit. I still do it, and I know not to, but we all do it. But it's all this, it's very emotional going through menopause. You know? And if you don't have the support behind you, it gets even more emotional. And the doctor just, like, when my doctor just wanted to throw drugs at me, and I'm going, no, I don't want them. Show me something else. So, but yeah. And it's got the, because it causes, one reason why you gain weight is the visceral fat around your abdominal, so around your belly. So this is where it sits. And then because your hormones are changing, you've got the your body uses carbs and fats slightly different because your body is changing. So this is where you've got to then slightly, you do need to change your diet slightly. You know, not saying anything major, but yeah. And we've got sleep, depression, weight gain. Anxiety is another one. So yeah. Because especially if you're about to walk into a meeting and then all of a sudden, you go, oh, my God, and you're there going, stop. Oh, you know, you can't show that you're going through it when you're about to, you know, any situation, and then you're, yeah. Because I've constantly, you know, I do networking groups all the time, and I'm sitting there, and the guy next to me goes, where's my grapes? You know, and I'm thinking, because I'm fanning myself, he's getting a bit fanning, and he's there going, I just need some grapes if you're going to keep fanning me. Okay. Rude. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. Very rude.
Yeah.
So let's also talk about sleep, because our sleep changes, it's disrupted when we're hit menopause.
Yes, it took, I don't know how, the best way I managed to combat the sleep is make my room cold. You know, I've just cranked up that AC, husband's underneath the blanket, underneath the big doona, and he's like, and I'm lying on top of it. So, yeah, that's about the only, there was, doctor did prescribe to me sleep tablets, and I think I took them twice. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want to do this. But, yeah, so combating sleep, it's just one of those things. The only thing I can think of is, yeah, make the room cold.
So what led you to write Weight Loss for Menopause? What led you to write it?
Well, because I was looking for a different alternative. So then I was thinking, okay, got to change the diet. So then I started researching, and in Australia we have an organisation, Menopause Association. So, yeah, so then I started looking on their website, looking at their alternatives, and they actually had – so in the back of the book actually has bonus recipes, and their recipes actually came from that organisation. So then I started looking into it and going, okay, it's not just the recipes. There's got to be something else into it. And if I'm going through it, there's got to be heaps of other women going through it. And the other books that I found or my other research, it was like, it just wasn't what I was looking for. And I thought, if it's not what I'm looking for, then there's got to be what other women not looking for or needing. So, yeah, so then I just narrowed it down to there's four different types of diets. Well, it's not, yeah, I don't really like the word diet. It's just like a little plan. So there's just four different types, like, and I thought, well, there's no point just telling you here, try this one, try that one. So then that's when I said, well, you've got to give them a start on this. So that's where you'll also find in there, like it says, is this diet right for you? The pros and cons, and it will also have a 7-day meal plan on that actual plan. Diet, lifestyle change. So, yeah. So then you can go through and test it out. Love it, don't love it, you know, mix and change it. You know, it's not one size fits all. All our bodies are all different. We all go through it. And so then you can just pick, go, oh, I really love that recipe. And you just, you know, try and fit it into your daily lives.
For sure. Now, did you find when you were doing your research that a lot of the stuff on menopause was written by men?
Yes. Yes. A lot of, you know, it's all like, yes. Well, it does say menopause. But, yeah, I know. It's sort of like, yeah. And all these dietitians as well going, all you got to do is do this and this and this. And you're going, yeah, I'm not doing that. So, yeah. So I tried to make it for the everyday woman, not just for the fitness fanatics women. So, so they can, you know. So you don't want to, because I hate it when you get a new recipe and you're going, where the hell am I going to find that? And you're searching all the grocery stores going, God, and I'm never going to use this thing. You open the jar and you're going to use it in 7 days and you're using one little teaspoon and the rest of it you're throwing away in the bin. It's got to be everyday ingredients, everyday food, everyday thing. It's an easy cooking. You know, these recipes that you go, Jamie Oliver's a big one, cook in 20 minutes. I've never done one of his recipes in under 20 minutes.
Well, that's good. That's great because moms, you don't have time to cook. You want to get in the kitchen. Plus, you don't want to spend all day in the kitchen because we have other things to do most of the time.
And when you're prepping, they always go prep. And because I know occasionally I have prepped, but then you've prepped and you've cut these stuff up and they're sitting in your fridge for 4 days. And once you've cut them, they don't last 4 days. But if I didn't cut them, they would have.
Yep.
So then where do we win?
That is so true. We need to take a brief commercial break, but we'll be right back.
The threats women face today are unparalleled and even more dangerous than ever before. 1 in 3 women globally has been the victim of an assault. Women are terrified, and they are looking for answers.
In the book, Street Smart Safety for Women, we draw on our experiences, both personal and professional, to provide those answers. It's by women, for women. Street Smart Safety for Women is available wherever books are sold.
And that commercial right there is one of the reasons why I asked you about when you were researching about menopause, were most of the books written by men, because these two ladies that just wrote that book actually said everything they could find out about safety for women were written by men, and they were so, oh, don't go out and walk at night. And they just don't understand the workings of.
Oh, well, don't wear that skirt. What are you wearing that mini skirt for? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you mentioned the types of diets. What types of diets do you suggest in the book? Let's go through one by one, the pros and cons.
So there is four. So the first one is the Mediterranean one, and that one was actually ranked by the Menopause Association as being the best because it's very flexible. It has the fruits and grains and nuts, and it's great for the heart and the brain. So, yeah, so then we go on to the low carb because our body is changing. We're using the carbs slightly different because as we do age, you do slow down, so your activity does get slowed down, and we lose muscle mass too as we get a bit older. This is why we've got to be careful of osteoporosis and, get our bone density reports done. So you've got to get into a low-carb diet, and I personally have cut out potatoes. I still have sweet potato, but white potato I've omitted from my diet. It took my husband a few weeks to realise we haven't eaten potato for a while. but see, that's the Atkins, keto, polio, paleo. So you can try some of those ones as well. There's the vegan and vegetarian. Now, that one's supposed to be good for anybody because we're not supposed to be carnivores. Eating meat every day is not good for us. We're supposed to have, I'm not telling anybody anything new. We've all over the years, you're supposed to have maybe, I think it's eat meat once a week and fish three times a week and stuff like this. But we don't do it because we like our food. We like our meat. So, the vegan and vegetarian, we could do two cups of vegetables a day? No, three cups of vegetables a day and two cups of fruit a day. That is very hard to get into. It's hard. So, they always say half your plate should be your vegetables and the quarter of it is your protein. And then there's the DASH diet, which is very good for the high blood pressure, and which is also the fruits, grains, and very low dairy. So you just got to go through it, work out what's best for you, which way it's all going to go.
So how much research did you do? Did you actually try each one of these diets, or did you just kind of like compiled the stuff together?
Did I what, sorry?
Did you research each one of these diets? Like, did you try them yourself or did you just compile it from your research?
No, I have tried them. So I haven't tried every single recipe. There's just some in there that's just, that's not for me, but just because it's not for me, might not be for you. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the diet or part of the plan. I have gone through it and tried, and that's why I just don't go, I'm on the Mediterranean run or I'm doing the low-carb one. Mm-hmm. I've actually taken a snippet out of all of them. So I've gone a little bit more vegetable and some low-carb, and then because I do have high blood pressure, I've gone for slightly a little bit of DASH. So I've taken the bits out of all of them. And I've tried to incorporate it. So I can't say, yay, great, I've lost my weight on this diet because I've used, all of them. And I mix and mash them all into the week.
See, that's what I love. I love the fact that you just said that you mix and match because there may not be one part of the diet may not work for you, but another part of another diet may work for you. So you have to find out what works for you.
Yeah. So this is why then you got the 7 days, so then you can look at it for 7 days and you work on those 7 days and those 7 days, and then, I just mix and match and then just go, I'll take that one and that one and that one and that one. So, and then just make it work for you. So like I said, our bodies are all different. We're all, different various stages. Like some people might not get into their menopause until they're their late 50s, whereas we're in the early 40s. So, some people don't even realise it. I think my sister-in-law, because she was on the pill for so long, and I think she was 50, still taking the pill, and they go, why? Why are you still on the pill? You're probably in menopause. Because she was complaining how expensive it was. And I'm going, you're 50. What do you want? Oh, come on. Surely. But, and yeah, and then she stopped it and she goes, oh, my God. She goes, I haven't had a period in 3 months. And then goes and sees a doctor and she's in menopause.
She spent all that money on birth control pills.
Because it was just a habit for her. But, and so she breathes through it really easily. So because she just didn't realise, she just thought it was the pill and didn't, yeah. But now because I think the pill must have helped her to get through the early stages of it all and to keep her hormones in track. And because she was, like, doing it for so long that I now thinking about it, the doctor did ask me about getting back onto the pill too. And I hadn't taken the pill in my 20s and I went going, yeah, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So that's one reason, yeah, that's one thing that they do. Put you back on the pill and get your hormones sorted out. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, because then you're adding more chemicals to your body and it may make you start back up again. You know, you never know.
Yeah, well, the pill has side effects too, and I thought I'd rather have menopause side effects than some chemical side effects. But you've got to do what's right for you. But if you feel what the doctor's telling you is, I'm not doing that, then just push back a little bit and tell the doctor, I'm not doing that. Find me something else.
Yep.
But, yeah, they are there for you, but you're the one that knows your body. You know, you're the one that's got to go through it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you talk about mindful and intuitive eating. Tell me what both of those are for those that are listening and how we can obtain that.
Well, mindful eating is where you take, like, you're actually in the moment of your food. So you take a bite, you take a break, and to savour the flavouring of the food. You enjoy it, the smell, the taste, the texture. Like, you know, when you're sometimes, I know it's the dessert one where, or sometimes when you're in a restaurant as well, and you go, oh, my God, this is the best sauce, this is the best cake, this is the, you know, the best crumble I've ever had. And you go, oh, and you start salivating. And so that's the mindful. You've got to just enjoy it. Just don't woof it down. Mm-hmm. And because sometimes it can bring back childhood memories when you're actually enjoying your food too. You think, oh, my God, this is what my grandma made. This is what my mum made. Or and you're trying to get into the moment and enjoy your surroundings, enjoy the people that you're with. And there's no judging if there's, if you're not eating right or you're not doing the right thing, you know, eat it, then move on. Don't go, oh, my God, I shouldn't have eaten that. You enjoyed it. So just enjoy it. Don't judge yourself for eating it. You know, you had that, say, birthday cake in the fridge and you're going, I shouldn't have eaten that. That's my third slice. Who cares? Just eat it. Don't judge yourself. And you just move on. Tomorrow's another day.
Yes. So true. And so many times women beat ourselves up. We shouldn't, or we deny ourselves these pleasures because we feel like it's just going to add more to us and more weight to us, when it's everything always in moderation as well, correct?
Yeah. So you do need moderation. So this is where the other, the intuitive eating, it's similar to the mindful eating, but you just dive into a little bit deeper. So instead of going, okay, it's 7 o'clock, I need to eat breakfast, 1:30, 1 o'clock, lunchtime, you know, don't go into routine, okay, breakfast, lunch, dinner, I go to my morning. So like when you're at work, you go, okay, 10 o'clock morning tea time and then 1 o'clock your lunch break. You know, you're going into the routines, you're eating 4 or 5 times a day, whereas the intuitive eating is you eat when you're hungry. You're going, you know what, I don't feel like my morning tea right now. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. So you eat when you're hungry. But at the same time, you've got to stop when you're full. So just don't keep eating. Like you've got to – see, this is why you've got to slow down, because if you're like eating too fast and you're scoffing it all down, you don't – you've missed the full factor. So when you're eating slow, I think I remember – what they say, you've got to chew 10 or 20 times or, you know, don't go into that. You can go into that if you really want to, but it's a lot. Just slow it down. I read somewhere that someone said, take a bite and put your knife and fork down. Eat it, pick up your knife and fork. Like, that to me is a bit too slow, but if that works for you, to slow it down. Like, you don't have to necessarily put the whole knife and fork down, but you can easily just put your hands down, sit back to, yep, okay, take another bite. So that way the fullness hits you and your mind actually goes, you know what, I am full. And push your plate away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and don't focus on what you should be eating or not eating, because like I mentioned before, you know, you've got to enjoy it. You know, we're all getting on in age. We all know we're going to die. So, you know, why not live it? So, but yeah, but don't confuse hungry with thirsty. So sometimes when you think I'm really hungry, but you're actually thirsty. So some things I try, especially late in the afternoon, I always get the 3 p.m. hungry. And this is where I fail and goes for that snack. And I'm thinking, really, I'm thirsty. So take your drink of water, you know, wait 15, 30 minutes. If you're still feeling that way, you think, well, I actually am hungry. I wasn't thirsty.
Yeah.
But if it goes away, then you go, oh, I was actually thirsty. So, yeah, it's a little trick in the mind where, you know, you get confused. Am I thirsty or am I hungry? So, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a great tip, because a lot of people do, like you said, at 3 p.m., they feel like they need that either rush of sugar or something, and they reach for those snacks instead of reaching for a glass of water first. And that's very important that we make sure that we're we're hydrated, not dehydrated.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can't remember the ratio now, but I know we're supposed to drink 3 or 4 liters a day, but then because I see a chiropractor every now and again, and she said 500 mils for every kilo. No, that can't be right. I can't remember the ratio now, but it's a hell of a lot more than what I was drinking. So, but yeah.
And a lot of times people don't drink what they should be drinking, or they think, oh, I'm going to have a soda and that will make me hydrated, when in fact it makes you dehydrated.
Yeah. Well, so does coffee. So for every cup of coffee, you've got to have 2 glasses of water. Same with alcohol. Every glass of alcohol is 2 glasses of water. So, yeah. So you've got to, and in any plan to lose weight in any stage of our life, they always tell you to cut out caffeine. So every time you see a doctor or a nutritionist, they say, cut out your caffeine. Yeah, that's it. That's really easy. Yeah, sure. But, yeah, no.
No, it's not easy. Like,
it's not easy at all, but try and cut out the afternoon one. So what I've done, instead of having a coffee in the afternoon, I switched to a green tea. So try, because the turmeric, ginger and I've got a note here somewhere, turmeric, ginger and can't remember my other one. Hang on, I find it. Garlic. You can get turmeric, ginger in a tea. I'm not too sure about the garlic. But the green teas are really good, and they will help with inflammation. So, like, there's nice peppermint teas. There's, I don't know if we've got a store here called the T2. So it's the letter T and then the symbol 2. And the teas in there, like, they're amazing. So they have really good green teas. They're the pomegranates. There's a go-getter. There's a beauty blend. You know, there's ones to help your skin. One to help your internals, there's one to help you sleep, one to keep you awake. It's like there's one called, Wakey Wakey or Sleep Tight. So the Sleep Tight one's really good to help you to sleep. So you take that probably half an hour before you want to go to sleep. So the green teas, just don't think of green tea as the plain old peppermint, spearmint. Go for some of the exotic ones, because the nice flowery ones, and find the one that likes. You know, they come in tea bags, or they come in, you know, you brew them for about the 3 minutes. They are really helpful. They're really good. Try and swap out your afternoon coffee for a tea. And there is, even though they're green teas, they do have a slight little caffeine in them as well. So you're still getting your caffeine here, and you're still helping your internals. And it's so much better. Like the turmeric tea is like, I like that one. And I like the go-getter as well. So, but yeah.
Now, speaking of teas, a lot of people feel like when they get a tea, like it's going to be way out there. The flavor is just not going to be something that they like. What do you suggest that when they go to try one? First of all, you got to go with an open mind, but what else do you suggest to start off with?
Well, the stores will do samples for you too. So if you, like I know our store does, and you just go there, tell them, hey, you know, going through menopause, not going through menopause, you say, look, I'm open to green teas. I've never done it before. Help me. You know, and they're very helpful. They'll go, okay, what type of spices do you like? What type of fruits do you like? And they will sort out the teas and they'll actually give you samples. They don't do it so much now because of like COVID, but before mm-hmm. COVID, they used to brew it for you. They'd say, hey, if you've got 10 minutes, I'll brew you one. So they're just starting to get back into that now. So they'll actually brew you a cup of tea so you can taste it in the store before you take it away.
Right.
So, yeah. So you just got to find your store that is got the right ones. I'm not too sure what stores you have out over there.
We're not really big on teas here. Most of it in the United States, it's coffees. Everybody's coffee, coffee, coffee. There's not a lot of tea shops, which really upsets my youngest daughter because she's a tea drinker. She loves teas of all kinds. She says she wished there was just a place where she could go sip tea and read a book, but there's no places here that's like that.
We're big coffee people too, because did you know that we were the first ones to have a McCafe in McDonald's? So Australia was the one who actually started having the coffee shop inside McDonald's.
Huh. So,
yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I don't do the typical black tea. When someone goes, you want a tea? And I'm like, it's got to be green. Black, no. I'll have coffee if you've only got black tea, but it's got to be the green teas for me. So, I'm a big coffee drinker, but I will drink green tea. You've just got to find the one you want and find the store. I don't know if T2 will ship out to the US. That's a very, it's a really big store here. And the staff, like I said, they will do samples and that, and they've got these really pretty cups and little teapots and, mm-hmm. and like, they've got flasks. Like, oh, I've got this really nice flask, and you make the flask. It's like the little jug warmer. And it will keep it hot for a good 2 hours, and you know, so that way if I'm going somewhere, I know I'm going to lose my slump in the afternoon. I better make my tea and take it with me. Mm-hmm. And I've even gone out to picnics where my friends have been drinking alcohol and I've taken my tea instead. So they go, what are you drinking? I went, my tea. So yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't want to drink alcohol, I want to drink my tea. So yeah. It's just that extra pick you up, and you just, like I said, you just got to find the right flavors. Like, but yeah.
Now let's talk about setting goals. How important that is to set goals, because I know a lot of people set a goal as they're for the weight loss. For like, I'm going to lose X amount of pounds, and sometimes that's detrimental to us because if we don't get there, we get down on ourselves. So let's talk about
that. They always say it's healthy to lose 500 grams to 1 kilo a week. And say for me, I'm thinking, no, I want to do 2 kilos a week. Why do I have to be 500 grams? So you do get, when you're only losing 200, 300 grams, and then the following week you're gaining those 200 grams, and it's because, you know, big yo-yo, and because our body does change, then you go into a slump. So try not to set a goal of, this is how much weight I want to lose, like, or make it smaller instead of being the big chunk going, you know what, I'm 90 kilos and I want to get down to 70, so I want to lose 20 kilos. Chunk, bring it down. So maybe if you're going to do the 20 kilos, do 20 kilos for the year. Don't go, I want to lose my 20 kilos in 2-3 months. You know, The Biggest Loser does that. It's not, you know, we don't have that capacity to do that. So when we're on our own, so set just very small realistic goals, and you can always go back and assess them, like after 1 month, go, great, I'd say lost my 1 kilo for that 1 month, yay, okay, now let's move to maybe 1.5 kilos for this month, because you get into the habit. We all know it takes 6 weeks to form a habit, so you get into the habit, so then you can ramp it up a little bit. And start walking if you're not a very big exercise person. Start going for a little walk. Sometimes I find, like, I haven't exercised in 2 weeks, getting into the slump, And you got to think the exercise is not, you know, to lose weight, to get, you know, fit and healthy and sweat it all out. Mm-hmm. You've got to actually enjoy it. So find the exercise that you enjoy. Because I do my RPM, which is my stationary bike. Like, I love that because I just sit, put my screen on, and I'm in my living room just on my bike. And my husband said, "Going, why don't you get on your bike out on the road?" No, I like sitting here. So you just got to find the one that suits you. Do you like doing a little bit of yoga, stretching? Like we all could do with a little bit more flexibility. You'd be surprised. Like you don't have to do full cardio, the full like red face, sweating and going, oh, my God. Just doing some yoga, some Pilates, some body balance that I don't know if these names are the same as these are the classes that we have here. And just flexibility and stretching. Like I've done a body bend class for 3 weeks and that was just trying to get the hips moving because, you know, in our jobs at our, we sit down too much.
Mm-hmm.
So especially my job, I'm in front of the computer all day, every day. So, you know, and I've got to sit down, stand up desk. And I even got a note here going, stand up, to try and get me to stand up so I'm not sitting down so often. But just the flexibility, you realize, oh, my God, that hurts. Just holding this pose for 1 minute, it hurt more than trying to do a cardio. So just do some flexibility and go for a little walk. So, yeah, set your goals. Don't set them too big. Like, yes, you know, you think go home, you know, go big, go home. But just start with little ones and then slowly creep them up. You can start with, yes, I want to lose 20 kilos and then break down how you're going to lose that 20 kilos and then work your way back up again. So, yeah, just don't go, there's my 20 kilos, great, okay, now what am I going to do?
Yeah, because a lot of people, once they hit that plateau of where they want to be at, they stop doing and then they realize they a month or two later they're back where they were to begin with because they stopped doing anything at all.
Mm. And the body will go into shock as well because if you haven't done anything for a while and then all of a sudden you're going, you know, well, I'm not eating sugar anymore, I'm not having alcohol anymore, and then all of a sudden you're doing 20K runs or maybe 10K runs and your body goes, holy hell, what are we doing? What, you know, we're not used to doing this. Mm-hmm. So then your body will go into a bit of shock and a bit of state and will actually start storing the stuff because you go, hang on a minute, I'm used to eating 2,000 calories a day and now I'm down to 500 or 1,000. So it will actually store the fat. So you've got to, you know, don't go too big. You've got to slowly bring your body in because you will plateau. Mm-hmm. And everyone plateaus and this is where everyone goes, oh, I didn't lose any weight this week or I've gained it. You know, we've also, you know, we've still carrying a lot of fluid retention as well when you're going through menopause. Like I suffer from swollen legs and ankles a lot mm-hmm. and I have for years. So this is why I like my turmeric tea because that helps with my inflammation on my legs. And that's because I sit down a lot too. But, yeah, and I live on the coast and I don't get to go to the beach as often I would like. So, but yeah, I even write down, go for a walk to the beach. Yeah, that doesn't happen today. But, yeah, you just got to think, I'm not going to beat myself up. I didn't get to the beach. I did something else instead or, you know, work, life got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And but, yeah, you just got to think, okay, I didn't make that goal. Then maybe if you're not making the goals, reassess your goals. Writing a journal too is helpful. So that can also help with your anxiety and your stress because that's without menopause, anxiety and stress is a big thing. And then you're adding menopause to it as well, which ramps it up even more. Try writing a journal, writing your feelings, writing down what happened to you today, how do you want tomorrow to go, and just writing it all down. And then you'll feel better. You see, like, asking the universe, you know, help me get through this or remove any blockages, you know, and, like, the universe and the angels are there as well. All you got to do is ask them. You know, if you're going through something, write it down, you know. A good thing is write it down, burn it, then it's gone. You know, if you got something happening, some stress, something, you know, something happened at work, she said, he said, you know, my boss hates me. Write it down. Write down how you feel. Write down what happened. And then burn it. It's gone. That's it. Yep. Move on. You know, don't let it dwell up in you, because if that dwells up, then other things will dwell up, and then you're just spiraling down in a little rabbit hole, and, you know, it takes you longer to get back out.
And with that spiraling down, it also affects your, not only your mind, but your body as well. And then you start reaching for what's going to make you feel comfortable, and it's going to be that food that's trying to fill a void in you.
And then you, and then you start eating. And so then your comfort food. And so then you're spiraling down even more, and then it affects your relationships, home, work, children. So,
Yeah, it does. It does 100% of all that. Now, when you decided to write the book, how long did it take you from start to finish to write it?
Oh, I think about a good 6 months. So just to go through it all and compile it all and test the recipes, test the ingredients, making sure that they were easily obtained. And and then had help with the Menopause Australia with the recipes. And, so it was just like, and plus, you know, there's copywriters, there's editors and proofreaders and stuff like that. So you go through it. It was good. Yeah, I would say 6 months. It was a lot of research before that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How much time did you take for the research part?
Oh, probably a good year. So, and that was all just me just researching for myself. So going through it all, and could have even been 2 years, slowly taking snippets here, snippets there, and compiling all what did I find, and how was it going to work for me, and going through it and getting it in, and then thinking, I should actually put this all together and help other women.
When you told your friends or your family that you're writing this book, what did they say?
Why? Why? I'm going, well, aren't you going through menopause? Yeah. I don't want to read about it. But, it's all like, because they were just big trusting into their doctors. And I said, well, you don't have to read about menopause. It's just helping you through it.
Good.
And, you know, a little bit of lifestyle changes and stuff, you know. It's all like, yeah, my husband's very supportive, so he was going, okay, if that's what you want to do, because, yeah, he's seen me struggle through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, my friends, they're going, yeah, I don't know, I just do what the doctor says. And I said, once if you don't want to do what the doctor says?
Yeah.
You know, you want to take control of your health and your life. So here's just an extra alternative. And the other books out there, I didn't like them. So,
I love that.
They were too clinical for me. So,
Your book is definitely written for the layman, the common person that could read it. And it's not so over the head that people will not be able to relate to something in the book.
Yeah, because, some of the other books I was looking at in more research, it was like they were written by doctors or nutritionists, and they were getting delving too much into it. And I don't need to know the complete ins and outs. I just need, you know, just rough the surface up a little bit so I can understand it. So when you're delving, you know, all the medical terms, I don't need that. But and find alternatives, and the alternatives I found was food.
Now, our time is almost up. Is there one thing that you would like to either reiterate of something that we touched on, or something that you don't feel like we've touched on that you would like to say as your one last little nugget?
Yeah. There's, you've also got to keep your mind active. So one thing I found, like doing jigsaw puzzles, not just sitting in front of watching TV, you actually go, like I'm a big one for candy crushing. And my husband going, you're playing that game again. I'm going, have you ever played it? It is hard. So I showed it to him. He's going, oh, my God. So, like, I'm on level 8,000 and something, so I've been playing it for quite a few years. And it's really hard. So that keeps my mind active. I also like jigsaw puzzles, and I just recently started doing an arts class. So just, you know, keep active, reading, journaling, and drinking plenty of water. That's the big thing, plenty of water. But yeah,
go ahead.
All right, so you've got to also reject the diet mindset. You know, false hope of losing weight quickly is not the way to keep your weight off. So if you continue to think the next fad is your way, then losing weight will continue. You'll fall victim into your – so I'm just reading a little passage from my book.
You'll fall victim
to the vicious cycle. You might not lose weight, but since the fad is not sustainable weight, it's going to come back. So you've got to reject the diet mindset, rejecting the idea of a quick fix. You've got to maintain a healthy long term. You've got to honour your hunger cues. These are, you know, when we were talking about the mindful eating or intuitive eating, I've got 10 of them in my book. So one of them was, you know, reject the diet mindset, honor your hunger cues, which we've talked about. Food is neither good or bad. So, like I said, you know, if you want it, eat it, enjoy it, move on. So don't beat yourself up about that you ate that cake or you ate that chocolate, you've had that ice cream, or you had a bigger steak than what it is recommended. Like they always say palm size, and you can never buy a palm size piece of steak unless you're at a restaurant and you're paying $50 for it. Yeah. But, so you're not good or bad because of your food choices. You're not horrible because, like I said, you ate that cake, or today you were stuck for a healthy eating plan and you didn't stick to your calorie goals. You need to enjoy your food, honour your fullness. So when you are full, that's why you got to eat slow. When you're full, just stop. Just push your plate away. I know I was at a Christmas party and a friend of mine, because I'm gluten-free, and she actually made the effort to make me a gluten-free cake. And I got halfway through and I pushed it away. And she goes, what was wrong with my cake? And I went, nothing, I'm full. She goes, really? You're full? Yeah, she goes, oh, she actually says, I honour that. She goes, I appreciate that you were just full, you know. And food is not meant to feed your emotions. So don't turn to food for comfort. Respect your body. We're all different. We're all unique. One size does not fit all. Mm-hmm. I hate it when you go into the shops and clothing sizes have changed. Like what used to be a 10 now is now an 8. What used to be a 12 is now a 10. A 14 is now a 12, 16 now. These are our sizes. I realize you got, realize now you've got different sizes. But yeah, because we go 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, where yours is, I think, is what, 0, 1, 2, something like that. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's all like, and so yeah. Feel your workouts. So many calorie burns. You got to find what motivates and works for you, something you enjoy. So just don't think I've got to go out and do 30 minutes of cardio. Cardio sometimes is more detrimental for us losing weight at our age than not doing it. So sometimes a bit of not doing it and then sweating it out for 30 minutes. Because they say you lose fat through your breath. So it doesn't matter what type, doesn't have to be full on. Like I said, just do some stretching, do some yoga, Pilates, body balance. There's heaps of apps where you can, I've seen those chair yogas, you know, if you've got bad knees, bad ankles, try doing those chair yogas. I mean, you're just sitting in the chair, just do some sort of movement. You don't have to eat perfectly all the time. Having that one dessert does not cause you to gain weight. Having that one salad does not make you lose weight. You know, you've got to find what's right for you, keep it going for you, and you've got a greatest impact of your health.
Yeah, for sure. So where can people find you at?
Well, you will not find me on Amazon because I do not sell on Amazon because Amazon's too restrictive. So you have to go to your standard bookstores, like your local bookstore, tell them to order it for you, because I have an Ingram Spark account, which is the wholesale account,
mm-hmm.
where books will have the account with them and they will order it for you. Usually it takes about 5 days if you're willing to wait. If you're not, get on Barnes & Noble. There's also ebooks where you can get on Kobo, I think Apple, Hoopla. So that's, I think ebooks maybe about $3, and the bookstores, I'm not too sure what they'll be charging for the bookstores, but it's usually could be about $25 or $30, because it is color, because mm-hmm. you can't do a recipes and have pictures of food in black and white. So it is slightly a little bit newer than the standard one because of the color, but it is well worth it. Well, I think it's well worth it.
I agree because I think it's written for the common woman who's going through menopause, and it's also written in a way that, you know, you've experienced, so you're saying what worked best for you, but you're also telling people, hey, you pick and choose what works best for you. You're not saying I'm an authority on this and you have to do it exactly the way I said to do it. No, you're telling them you have to pick out what works for you.
I found the four best, and then the four that worked for me, they're, like I said, I pick and change them all, work on the bonus recipes, and just, even if you don't even do the recipes or any of the diets, just reading and understanding it slightly a bit better than the doctor being clinical to you, that's even worth it.
That is so true. Well, thank you, Sonia, for coming on and for sharing and for talking about the taboo topic that nobody talks about, menopause. Do you have anything else in the works, or do you think this is going to be the only book you'll ever write?
Oh, no. I actually got it here. I've actually written, because we eat with our emotions, especially going through menopause, eating with our emotions. I've got Bad Habits from Keeping You from Losing Weight. That's the key habits help you lose weight. Tips on stop mindless snacking and eating with your emotions, because that's the complement, the menopause book. So because we do, like, I'm a big one for that. I eat with my emotions.
Yep.
And then I've also got in all my research to try and find which is best for the menopause, and I researched 20 diets. And then I narrowed it down to these four for this menopause. So then I wrote my 20 in here. So there's the top 20 diets plus a 7-day meal plan after each one. So this one is, if you ever wanted to know the difference of each diet, so I break it down, the pros, the cons, what's right, what's wrong, and then you get a 7-day meal plan after for about each diet, and there's 20 of them in there. So did we have time for me to quickly say the 20?
Yeah, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. So I talk about the Atkinson's, the DASH, the detox and cleansing, the flexitarian, the FODMAP, gluten-free, intermittent fasting, the keto, low-carb, the Mayo Clinical, the Mediterranean, mind diet, paleo, raw food, South Beach, vegan, vegetarian, volumetrics, whole foods, and the zone. So this all came all from my research and other menopause, that it was just too much to put in there, and I split it out. Like I said, this going over these, because I was sick and tired of Googling, what is this diet for? What is that diet for? And is it good for me? You know, what does it weigh? So I put it all in one book, and then Eating Our Habits goes with the menopause one as well. So,
I love that. And I love that
you'll find them in your local bookstore too. You just got to ask for them to order it, or ebook. It's a bit hard to get ebooks with recipes, mm-hmm. Unless you do it on a big iPad. But, I've got a little Kindle, so I don't get little recipe books on my Kindle. I need the actual physical book.
Yeah, I agree on that one. I'd rather have that tactile, that feel. Plus, you can put the recipe book up while you're cooking instead of, but I love the fact that you just said that all these 20 meal plans you got a 7-day, 20 out of these meal, the diets, lifestyle, you get a 7-day meal plan. So you can try it for 7 days. And if like there's things on it you don't like, then you can say, okay, I'm going to scrap this one and go to the next one. And I like that.
Yeah. So it gives you your ingredients and the recipes for a whole 7 days on each diet. So, yeah, so pick and choose. So if you don't like the four that, like I picked the top four that suits menopause in this one, and you'll notice that I said the same ones in the actual top 20 ones. So, but, yeah, so you just got to pick what's right for you, what works, what's easy for you and your family, because, you know, you got to think, I know when I'm on a, you know, say like a health kick, my husband has to eat what I'm eating. I said, I'm not cooking two meals. Mm-hmm. And but I have a frozen meal in the freezer for him if he really is not going to eat what I eat. He just grabs out the frozen meal out of the freezer and zaps it in the microwave and then he eats it. And the same with the children when they were home, because, you know, they're adults now and they've moved out. But when they were home, this is what we're eating. I'm not cooking two meals.
And yep, I agree.
But, yeah. So you just got to work what suits with your family. If you can cook two meals, great. If not, like I said, my husband has a – I buy some frozen, you know, little meals in the freezer and he just zaps one of them if he goes, yeah, I'm not really eating that.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's great. I've got it for tomorrow as well.
There you go. Well, Sonia, thank you for coming on and for sharing your journey and for sharing this book with us.
No worries. Thank you for the invite.
Guys, I will put in the show notes everywhere where you, all her books that she's talked about and local bookstores. Definitely you want to support your local bookstores because they're really the mom and pop stores are the ones. And you, if you don't find it on the shelves, you can just ask the manager if they could order it for you. And I will also put some of the links on some of the diets that you talked about so people can investigate a little bit more too.
Great. That's helpful.
All right. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin. We not only have voices for a podcast, but also faces for YouTube. Don't miss your next episode.